Good morning. I'm Steve Dale. A lot to talk about. COVID-19. This radio station has covered that issue so incredibly well. That's what WGN has been about for, well, even since I was a little kid listening to this guy, Wally Phillips. If there's something in the news, WGN is right there, and it's been textbook. We will be right there for you. But how about our companion animals? How about our pets and COVID-19? There is so much misinformation on the internet. I went to the right source, Dr. John Howe of the American Veterinary Medical Association. He is the president of the AVMA, and he will be talking with us in just a moment. Also, if there's an outcome to all this that isn't good, it might be felt by animal shelters. How about the shelters in the Chicago area? Are they feeling it yet? And if so, how? Tracy Elliott, president of the Anti-Cruelty Society, will be here. And an interesting story about a drug that was first used in cats with a kind of coronavirus and how that drug's effectiveness is now being tested for COVID-19. One thing about this radio show that I'm so proud of is that we hear from the best, you know, and I will tell you, so many, there aren't too many pet radio shows out there, but so many resources, whether they be bloggers or what few pet radio shows there are or the news shows, they have a veterinarian on, and that's well and good. We're talking to the American Veterinary Medical Association and avma.org/coronavirus. That's where you should go. Information changes almost daily, so that's where to go. That for pets is the ultimate resource. And I happen to know the AVMA on a daily basis also talks to the Center for Disease Control. So they are in conjunction and consistent with what one is saying, the other is saying. And I want to thank you, Dr. Howe, for the job and the leadership the AVMA has demonstrated through all of this. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for that.
The first question I have is I think what is on people's minds most, and that is, can I get COVID-19 from my dog or cat? Can I give it to a dog or cat? And maybe in answering, you can give us an explanation, I think, of coronavirus 101, because that may help as well.
Okay. So to date, there have not been any reports of pets or other animals, domestic animals, becoming ill. And there's no evidence that any of those animals, including pets, can spread it to humans at this time.
And that's the headline, and that's what's important. Now, I think it's helpful for people to understand that we get coronaviruses that, and for decades and decades and decades, that we've called the common cold. Dogs have their own canine coronaviruses. Cats have a feline coronavirus. And other mammals, because I know up in northern Minnesota where you are, you also deal with these things that called cows, I believe, and other animals, farm animals, that also pigs have their own coronaviruses. And this is not new. What's new here is that a coronavirus mutated that people have no immunity to, but it mutated. It's a human coronavirus. It is not a canine or feline coronavirus. Am I getting that right?
You are getting that right. Yep. Horses also get a coronavirus, but it affects mostly the intestinal tract. And none of these coronaviruses give cross protection. So it would do no good whatsoever to vaccinate humans with any of the animal coronaviruses. It would be a waste of time.
I'm glad you said that, because there are some people in social media, they say interesting things. And one of the things that's been said is just get yourself a horse vaccine and use it on yourself. I would suggest that potentially even could be dangerous. At best, it'll do no good.
Very dangerous.
Yeah.
There's a lot of serious side effects vaccinating yourself with animal vaccines.
Absolutely right. Yeah. So another question that people have is, you know, we've read that wipe the countertops, wipe the doorknobs, because virus can live there. Coronaviruses, in fact, I happen to know, don't love living there. They don't do very well on surfaces, but they can and do live on surfaces a bit. What about on a dog or a cat's coat?
So, yeah, like porous materials like pet fur, they tend to absorb and trap a lot of the pathogens, so they make it a lot harder to contract those through touch. So it's not as dangerous, you know, on pet hair as it would be on countertops. Or let's say there are some things that people that I've heard other physicians say, you know, about getting the mail and things like that. Let's say your mail carrier had corona, and they were coughing while they were putting the mail in your mailbox. You know, it might take a while for that to dry and die. So that's one area of potential concern, but I guess I wouldn't be. But because paper is a little bit porous and would tend to trap it also. But there's just a lot of things you have to think about with viruses. And it's just different than bacteria. I do think in some ways we're treating this like it's Ebola instead of corona.
Yeah.
But it's maybe better to be overcautious than undercautious.
All right. Now, I think what you said, and again, there is nothing wrong. I'm repeating what you just said with being overcautious. But this is a type of virus that doesn't love. And you tell me if I'm right. It's different than, say, the influenza virus. Canine influenza can live in pet stores if your dog, and this is why I'm so in favor of vaccinating for the dog flu, you know, because some dogs like this virus are carriers, like some people are carriers, and they have no idea. That's the case with
the flu, right?
But
absolutely.
So, yeah, so the dog goes into a pet store, sniffs at some dog's toys, you know, is carrying the virus. Next dog comes in. And up to 2 days later, it can be infected. We don't believe, from what I've read, for this type of virus only because it is a coronavirus. And coronaviruses are, the good news is, pretty easy to clean. They're unstable viruses. And while they don't love living on countertops or doorknobs, they really wouldn't do well on a dog's coat.
That's right. That's right. And so it's also important with people with pets, if their dog or cat has respiratory signs, don't automatically think it's going to be corona because it's most likely not. I mean, almost 99.9% sure it would not be. But the veterinarians would need to test or look for more common respiratory pathogens to see what the problem is.
Yes. So the good news is in veterinary medicine, there is actually a test for this coronavirus, and IDEX, which is a diagnostic laboratory, tested thousands of dogs and cats at this point. So far, not a single positive. Coronavirus has affected now, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of pet owners across the world, including many in dog and cat-loving countries like Italy and Germany and Spain and other countries, including the U.S. So far, to my knowledge, and you'll confirm or deny, no veterinarian has said yes to a positive as far as a dog becoming ill. Now, there are two dogs in Hong Kong. So they showed they showed a positive, a weak positive, whatever that means, but they had no symptoms. And according to the World Health Organization, also those dogs could not give this virus. So they were infected, but not infectious. They could not give it to people. Is that all right?
That's absolutely correct.
So the bottom line from all of this is that you could still pet your dog, you could still take your dog for a walk, you could still snuggle with your cat, all of which I would imagine is actually good for us.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, especially in these times where people are stuck at home and trying to stay out of the way of the general public, those dogs and cats give us a lot of comfort and plus, it's got to be a lot better for them. When people are home now, they're going, wow, this is really different.
Well, you know, you and I, when we spoke, I don't know, 3 months or so ago, we talked about the problem of pet obesity. And in dogs, about half of all dogs in this country are overweight or obese. So are you hoping that it's possible that if we're getting out more with our dogs, they will exercise more? And we'll see those numbers go down just a little bit?
I would sure hope so. I would sure hope so. You know, one thing about keeping their pets safe, if a person is going to come down with it, one thing they maybe want to do is have a little preparation in advance, make sure that they have an emergency kit prepared, not for evacuation, but for self-quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of weeks of food, and maybe any needed medications that they have, make sure they have, you know, at least 2 weeks worth of medications. That would be another good thing to think about.
I think a very good point. And I know that before we wrap up here on WGN, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I would just like to say, close up by saying, you know, veterinarians have a responsibility to society at this difficult time. It's really important work, what we do as veterinarians. It's difficult. And we commend everybody, everybody going out there every single day to protect human and animal health and to help maintain the human-animal bond. And as president of the AVMA, I want to thank you for doing this essential work. And I want veterinarians to know that the AVMA is working around the clock to advocate for your work and to develop resources that you need to help keep your doing your jobs effectively and safely. And Steve, I want to thank you for helping educate the public about veterinarians and pet health all through the year, but especially during this difficult time.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you. You know, veterinarians are essential businesses, and most communities have understood that, which is the good news. I'll tell you, you may not know this story, but in Illinois, I read the Chicago Tribune as, like, hours before they were about to shut down the state of Illinois, shelter at home. And they listed the professions that were considered essential. Veterinarians were not there. I sent a text to a certain state senator, Sarah Feigenholz, who I knew would get it. Indeed, she did. And she said, I'm on it. She was. She contacted some of her colleagues. And lo and behold, the governor even mentioned veterinary practices when he spoke and talked about the businesses that will stay open. It isn't only about the pets, and taking care of them is the humane thing to do and the ethically right thing to do, but it is that connection we have with those pets that you mentioned that is oh so important. And I'll tell you, the AVMA has stepped up. More importantly, veterinary medicine has stepped up. Dr. Howe, I thank you very much for taking time out to join us, and I thank you so much for everything the AVMA is doing. Continue to do avma.org/coronavirus. Thank you, Dr. Howe. Coming up next, we talk with Tracy Elliott, president of the Anti-Cruelty Society, about how they're dealing with all of this. Steve Dale's Pet World here on WGN. Tracy Elliott is the president of the Anti-Cruelty Society in Chicago, legendary facility in Chicago. But you are on a committee, a group, a task force of lots of different shelters. How is Chicago doing with all this, Tracy?
You know, Steve, considering, I think we're doing quite well. We all, I think, got on this as quickly as we knew what the facts were. And we're helping each other with planning and even adaptive planning, which is planning for several different scenarios at one time. We're exchanging resources. We're exchanging information. We're trying to keep each other focused and, you know, not terribly stressed out. We're trading tips about how to keep our staffs happy and as stress-free as possible. We're trading. This is not a work-at-home profession. A lot of professions are, so we have very little experience with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we now have a lot of administrative staff and other staff working from home. So we're trading tips about how to make that successful. So the coalition came together about a year ago, obviously before we knew anything like this would happen. And all of a sudden, we're realizing how important it is for shelters all around the region of all sizes and shapes to work together.
So the good news is that, as you mentioned, the shelters, including the municipal facility, Chicago Animal Care and Control, are down to numbers that are maybe record numbers, or at least for a very, very long time. And where do those dogs and cats go then? Where are they?
Well, all of us had really, really heavy adoption numbers as we were planning on, you know, potential closing. So we upped our adoption efforts, and the community came through. And so lots and lots of adoptions, even more fosters. So I'm sure your audience is familiar. You know, foster folks take an animal temporarily, get them out of the shelter environment. Sometimes they're ill and need a quieter environment. Sometimes they need to get away from the shelter. In this case, they need to clear out of here, both to anticipate potential emergency intake, but also to anticipate reductions in our staff. I mean, the biggest fear we have is if we have illness among staff. A lot of us have made significant provisions. I mean, I have been trained how to clean and sanitize a cage. Nothing wrong with that. I'm ready to step up and do it. We have volunteers who are ready to come in and do that kind of thing too. But so, you know, we have been really planning for quite some time for this. But animals are in homes where they belong, either as fosters or as permanent members of those families.
Which, of course, is good news. Now, to be clear, and we just spoke to the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, who confirmed, I've been writing about this, the World Health Organization, World Small Animal Veterinary Association, among those who all say, yes, there are two dogs in Hong Kong who tested a weak positive for the virus, but that does not mean they're infectious to us. In fact, the experts believe they are absolutely not. And so far, with all the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people around the world, in many dog and cat loving countries who have had COVID-19, as far as anyone knows, there is no veterinarian who has indicated there's a positive. And that includes the United States, where there is a test for COVID-19 for pets. And for the most part, that test hasn't been needed because symptoms have not, or signs have not warranted that. In addition to that, IDEX, which is a diagnostic lab, has tested thousands of dogs and cats, not a single positive. But despite all of that, the internet is the internet, and people are worried. They are scared. I am told that in Chicago, though, happily, people are not giving up their pets out of concern that their pets are going to get this or give it to them. Is that what you feel as well?
That is not only what I feel, but what we are experiencing. We
Good.
Haven't had a single intake as a result of that.
Good.
And I think we broke up a little bit, but I was saying to you, thank you for your leadership on informing the public about this issue, because this could have really complicated our lives had that misinformation got out of control. You know, one of the things I told my staff as we were preparing are our three biggest enemies or barriers right now are misinformation, fear, and panic, and they one leads to the next. So thank you for informing the public correctly about this really critical issue.
Well, thank you. And as I said earlier, the American Veterinary Medical Association, avma.org/coronavirus, or my website, stevedale.tv. I'm honored to work with the AVMA on this, and that they read much, if not everything, that I write. I'm happy they do. Because we want to be consistent. I think that's important. And we want to be right. But I'm going to pull out my crystal ball. And the concern isn't, I don't think so much what I just said about, and you point out, you've not gotten a single person who's wanted to relinquish their pet, despite what the internet says is happening, at least in Chicago and elsewhere, as far as I know. People are not giving up their pets in the United States anyway because of a fear that their pet's going to get this or give it to them. My concern is if the unemployment goes up to what some economists, and I have no clue, I am no economist, but if it goes up to numbers that are like crazy numbers, then with that, people may relinquish their animals. Do you have the same concern? And if so, is Chicago prepared for that?
We do have the same concern. That concern is mitigated a bit now. I'll tell you why. But to answer the second question, I do believe Chicago is prepared because of such a high rate of adoption going into this and a very high rate of fostering. Most of the shelters in the Chicagoland Lifesaving Coalition, which we are a part of as 12 shelters, and others that we're communicating with, and frankly, the national groups that are sharing information all around the country are saying the same thing. We are not seeing that yet. But we are prepared if that is to occur. I mean, shelters are doing everything possible to open up space. The county actually has an emergency plan to open up an emergency shelter should things like that occur. So I think we're prepared. I think we're doing smart planning. My optimism is that the economic stimulus bill is really going to help people with immediate cash and then also with very, very flexible and expanded unemployment benefits. So perhaps that will reduce the risk that people are going to be in a financial bind. There are also pet food resources that are developing all over as well.
Yes.
And I don't have all the details on ours yet, but we have spoken with some significant providers of pet food and are working with them to get more food into the pantry system here in Chicago, as well as other ways of distributing pet food. So pay attention and sort of stay alert about more information about that coming.
Well, I have a hunch you'll contact me when you do have information, or others will. I'm happy to pass that on to folks. Yeah, I know it. I thank you very much for your leadership, but you'd be the first to say you're not alone here. I just chose you, but it could have been any shelter director. I think president. I mean, you're all doing a wonderful job. As I say, it's not only, I mean, even the municipal shelter has really low numbers, and it's wonderful for the animals, even though the reason for it is awful. Tracy Elliott, Anti-Cruelty Society of Chicago, anticruelty.org for more information. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Coming up next, how a drug used for coronavirus in cats may help people. So I was talking about this with John Williams just the other day. It's amazing how things happen. You know, I'm on the board of the Wynn Feline Foundation. We fund cat health studies. And we funded a study by a legendary researcher to study feline infectious peritonitis in cats. That comes about as a result of a coronavirus in cats. Now, historically, cats have never gotten the dog coronavirus. We've never gotten the dog coronavirus or the cat coronavirus. Cats don't get our coronavirus, etc. But fascinating to learn that a drug called remdesivir was mentioned by the President of the United States of America. And that is the drug that we funded the study for. Now, the researcher couldn't get a hold of remdesivir. There is a drug just like it, almost identical, that works. It works to cure. I actually, if you know cats, using the word cure and FIP in the same sentence is astounding. To cure. So now the U.S. government is saying, oh, well, if it works for cats, maybe it can work for people. It's a different coronavirus. We know that. But there are, under a microscope, it looks very similar. So there are similarities. Can it work? Will it work? Well, clinical trials, I happen to know, have actually begun.